Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the second month, the 21st day, the year 2016, and it's the second Lord's Day in Lent. And the title of this lecture is Apostate Anti-Pope Francis's Visit to the Americas and His Anti-War Heresy. First of all, I don't want you to call him a pope. You can call him a poop, you can call him a dope, you can call him an apostate, but don't call him a pope. And don't call him Catholic, because he is not. Now, this lecture primarily is a Catholic response to this bastard. And to make reparation for the blasphemies against our Catholic Church and Catholic faith that this man is causing in the scandal. He's not Catholic. He's a monster. And we're going to prove it, give you just a few proofs in this lecture. You know how you can tell that apostate anti-Pope Francis I lies? His lips are moving. As a matter of fact, he just opened his mouth and put his ass in it just recently. Just this week, he came out, and here's the non-judgmental guy. He doesn't judge anybody. You're not allowed to judge or punish anybody. Well, he came out this week, and he judged Donald Trump. And he opened his mouth, like I just said, and spoke a heresy. Here's basically what he's teaching, what he said, and we're going to go into the clip in a second. He came out and said that if anyone builds only a wall and doesn't put bridges in that wall also to let people travel freely back and forth across that wall, he can't be Christian. He's not Christian, is what he said. So what's the purpose, first of all, when you build a wall, if you're going to have bridges through it that allow people to pass freely from one side to the other? What's the purpose of a wall, anyway? To keep certain people out and to let certain people in. Either to let people who live in the family in there or members of that community or nations, so you can keep people who are that nation in and prevent foreigners from illegally entering your country. So there's purposes for walls, to keep out invaders, to keep out enemies. So if I have a wall around my property, to just keep the brothers in here so other people can't come on my property. Only those whom I choose to let in. So if you build, what he basically said was, anybody who only builds walls and doesn't build bridges is not a Christian. So basically, he defeats the whole purpose of a wall. Well, this is what he said about Donald Trump. So so he's really saying that, and this is a guy that doesn't judge anybody, mind you, but now, when it comes to this wall issue, he's actually saying that Donald Trump is not a Christian because he said this. Now, before I go into this whole lecture. Donald Trump's not a true Christian. Rubio's not a true Catholic. He's a nominal Catholic. Cruz is not a true Christian. And apostate anti-Pope Francis I is not a true Christian. As a matter of fact, apostate anti-Pope Francis I is more anti-Christian than even they are. He's the greater of the evils. He's greater, more evil than Trump, Cruz, Rubio, and the Republican candidates. He's an extreme liberal lefty. That's what apostate anti-Pope Francis I is. So I'm not against people saying people aren't Christian, but you got to say it for the right reason. The reason he's trying to say people aren't Christian is because they're building walls. So anybody who builds a wall to keep people out cannot be Christian. This is basically what he's saying. Now we're going to go to the clip. This happened during this week.
Now to the war of words erupting between Donald Trump and Pope Francis. Trump firing back tonight after comments made by the Pope. The Pope was asked on his plane about Trump's plan to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. The Pope saying the notion is not Christian. ABC's chief foreign correspondent Terry Moran was on the Pope's plane, and here was the moment.
On board the papal airplane, a stunning moment.
La Casa Bianca, Republicano Donald Trump.
Pope Francis asked directly about Donald Trump's plans to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border and deport millions of undocumented immigrants, speaking from the heart.
Hey boy.
A person who thinks only about building walls wherever they may be and not of building bridges is not Christian, the Pope said, adding pointedly, this man is not Christian if he has said things like that.
Non è cristiano.
A staggering papal denunciation, and it came after a week of Francis in Mexico again and again preaching a highly charged political message.
Well, Trump's response to him was a very good response when he emailed and put a picture out and showed the Vatican is surrounded by walls, huge walls. And those walls around the Vatican are meant to keep people out. They got guards on the gates. There's no bridges in that Vatican that says you can freely enter and you can freely leave. So according to apostate anti-Pope Francis, the first, what he just said right there, he condemns himself. That means he's not Christian and nor is anybody in the Vatican City a Christian. Well, we know he's not a Christian for many other reasons, but that's not the reason. Now, here's Trump's response to apostate anti-Pope Francis I.
It was a headline that surprised even Donald Trump.
They said, Mr. Trump, the Pope made a statement about you. I said, the Pope? What did the Pope say? I like the Pope. I mean, was it good or bad?
It wasn't good.
He actually said that maybe I'm not a good Christian or something. It's unbelievable, which is really not a nice thing to say.
Trump then turning up the volume.
For a religious leader to question a person's faith is disgraceful. I'm proud to be a Christian. No leader, especially a religious leader, should have the right to question another man's religion or faith.
Now, this is where Donald is wrong. But where is he getting this heresy from? Now, the Protestants may hold this, but not conservative. The Protestants believe Jews, Muslims, yeah, right, are damned. You got to believe in Jesus. So you could. It's our duty to question people's faith. So if you're not a true Christian, you're a Muslim or you're a Talmudic Jew, it's our duty to tell them, guess what? Your religion is false. You're worshiping a false god and you're on the road to hell. But he got this also from apostate anti-Pope Francis I in the Vatican II Church, who just doesn't judge. You're not allowed to judge anybody. Everybody's saved. Every religion is good. You can be saved no matter what god you believe in, no matter what religion. That's where he's getting this from. He's getting it from apostate anti-Pope Francis I in the Vatican II Church, who's the main promoter of this particular heresy, where you're not allowed to judge anybody. You can't tell what's in their heart. You can't say they're not Christian. So he is making a point here. Apostate Anti-Francis I is a hypocrite. Because he does, we're going to go into this. We're going to show you how he doesn't judge anybody, but he's judging Donald Trump. Because he's nothing more than a social worker, a hypocrite, and an extreme lefty liberal. So anybody who's on the right side of any issues, on the natural law even, he gets very angry at them and he judges them, as he judged Trump right here. Now we're going to go on to the clip with Trump as he goes on.
No leader, especially a religious leader, should have the right to question another man's religion or faith.
The billionaire candidate accusing Mexico of using Pope Francis as a, quote, pawn in the debate over immigration and border security.
If and when the Vatican is attacked by ISIS, which, as everyone knows, is ISIS's ultimate trophy, I can promise you that the Pope would have only wished and prayed that Donald Trump would have been president.
For good measure, the Trump team even tweeting this image of the Vatican, showing it's surrounded by walls.
Yeah, Donald Trump is very right on that point. Of course, the Muslims want to attack the Vatican, so do Talmudic Jews. But according to Francis, he shouldn't have any walls there. He should let them come right in and don't even fight against them and don't even resist them. Let them take over the holy churches and the holy places and don't fight to defend yourself from, just tear down that wall and let them enter. Now, when this was happening too, Donald Trump said another true thing against apostate anti-Pope Francis I. He said he's a politician. And he is. He says he talks like a politician. He's acting like a politician. The things he says, the way he's pushing the mushy, liberal, left-wing position. And he's a politician for sure. And then when they were questioning Francis I and told him, guess what, Donald Trump called you a politician, he came out and said, well, that's good. Politicians are okay, because you know who teaches politicians are okay? Aristotle. And he quotes Aristotle. This is phenomenal, because this is just what I'm working on, my Hellenization of Christianity by the anti-church fathers and the scholastics and their idolization of the philosophers. And this guy's invoking Aristotle to defend himself as a politician. We go to the clip.
Ma grazie a Dio che ha detto che io sono politico, perché Aristoteles define la persona umana come animal politicus. Almeno sono persona umana. E che sono una pedina, ma forse, non so, lo lascio al giudizio di voi, della gente.
No, you know, he's not a pawn to the people. He's the master evildoer. He knows what he's doing. He's serving the devil, not as a pawn, but as a conscious infiltrator. He's worse than a pawn. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's a conscious infiltrator. And he said in there, I'm a human person. Whoa, I didn't know that. Profound. You see, these people, what they teach, these lefty liberals, you're saved because you're a human being. All humans are saved. And that goes back to philosophy, too, because the philosophers could never understand or believe in God's dogmas that most men go to hell. Look at all your philosophers everywhere you turn. Damned infants are happy united to God. All the devils are going to be freed in the end. Anybody who's in hell that are damned is going to end up in heaven. No one goes to hell because they're a human person. What kind of crap is that? I'm a human person. Big deal. You're a human person. Profound statement. But he quotes Aristotle. This is also showing you that the main problem, all these bastards from the Renaissance Church and the Vatican II Church, they're Hellenizers of Christianity. Now for some of his hypocrisy, right? There's a big wall around the Vatican, right? They don't let anybody, they got guards on the gate. You can't get in and out if you don't want. But he's trying to pretend that he's being passionate to these illegal immigrants that are invading countries illegally, like in Europe right now, when they're coming from the Middle East and from Africa, and they're invading Europe, the Mexicans that are illegally entering this country. First of all, he's promoting civil unrest. He's promoting disobedience to the law, which is against... Remember God said, and St. Paul said, obey your masters and obey the laws of the land? He's promoting them breaking the law. But he says, well, look, I let immigrants into Vatican City. I took in two Syrian families. Let's go to the quote.
This morning, the Pope called on every parish and religious community across Europe to take in one migrant family. The Vatican says it will be taking in two.
Whoa, two families. What a big dent he put in the immigrant crisis. Two families. You want to prove what you... I like to have about 10,000 of them line up at the Vatican wall. Open the gate, Muslims. I bet you there were two nominal Christians too that he let in. I don't know. And they probably paid him a heck of a lot of money, or somebody paid him money to let them in. But two out of the millions? I'd like to have at least 10,000 of those people, or 5,000, line up by the walls and have them build a bridge over his wall and enter Vatican City, Muslims living there. Go ahead. You're a hypocrite. He's an absolute hypocrite, two people. It's a joke. It's laughable what these people do. That's the liberals do that, and they pretend they're helping people, you know? Like that stupid knucklehead Jerry Lewis, you know? He's a telethon on these crippled people. I'm not against helping poor and crippled people, but you know what they do? They steal 90% of the money and give 10% to the people, and they have five retarded people come out on wheelchairs, and they get them all these things, and they go, look how much... We did. Yeah, but you stole 90% of the money. You're a thief. It's hypocrisy. Well, what Francis I is doing, he's not just condemning Donald Trump for wanting to build a wall which keeps out certain people because there's no bridge to let them in. He's condemning anybody who supports a wall in their own country or nation to keep out foreigners from illegally entering their countries, which we call an invasion. Okay, you can do it with an army, or you can just walk in if you know that they're not going to attack you and take over the whole country. He's denouncing all the Republicans, basically. Most of them support the wall. Rubio, Cruz, Bush, Carson, Huckabee. We'll go to the clip.
But today, Cruz wasn't picking sides.
Listen, that's between Donald and the Pope. I'm not going to get in the middle of that. I'll leave it to the two of them to work.
Do you think it's un-Christian to have a border wall?
Cruz also favors a border wall.
Do you think that's un-Christian to build a border wall? Senator, the border wall, do you think that's un-Christian?
And repeatedly dodged me as I tried to get his response to the Pope's comments.
Senator, do you think a border wall is un-Christian?
I'm going to visit with the voters now. Thank you.
Senator Marco Rubio, who is himself Catholic, praised the Pope.
And I have tremendous respect and admiration for him.
But Rubio making it clear he and the Holy Father disagree on immigration.
But we're a sovereign country, and we have a right to control who comes in, when they come in, and how they come in.
In this case, what makes it so remarkable, number one, is that all of the GOP candidates have called for a secure border, every last one of them. But there's another issue, Greta. I mean, I've been to the Vatican. There's a big wall that surrounds the Vatican. I'm wondering, when the Pope gets back home, is he going to take that down and say, we don't build walls anymore? Look, Nehemiah built a wall. Jerusalem had a wall around it in the time of the kings, and it was ordered by God to be built as a way of protection. I don't know what the Pope thinks a country should do if it doesn't protect its borders and protect its people. That's what a country does. And a country without a border is not even a country anymore.
Absolutely correct. And I'm going to quote the verses that he's mentioning there about Nehemiah, when God ordained and commanded him to build a big wall around Jerusalem to keep out their enemies and to build gates and put guards on it. This is in the second book of Esdras, which some people call it the book of Nehemiah. And this is chapter 2, verse 17. Then I said to them, you know the affliction wherein we are, because Jerusalem is desolate, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Come and let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, and let us be no longer be a reproach. And this is one of the fulfillments of the first part of Daniel's 70-week prophecy, in which when those walls in the whole city was finally built up, that was one of the fulfillments, first part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. And God ordained that the walls should be built. Now, the Canaanites that were surrounding them got angry, and they said, if they build this wall, they're going to be problems to us. Let's prevent them from building a wall. So they tried to stop them from building a wall. And we read about this in 2 Esdras chapter 4, 7. And it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobias and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Azotians heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be closed, they were exceedingly angry. And in verse 8 to 9 and 13, it says, and they all assembled themselves together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to prepare ambushes. And we prayed to our God and set watchmen upon the wall day and night against them. I set the people in a place behind the wall round about in order with their swords and spears and bows. Well, according to apostate anti-Pope Francis I, they should have never built a wall. They should have invited the pagan Canaanites to come in to God's holy home and desecrate it with their pagan beliefs and idols. That's Francis I would say. Or if he would say, if you're going to build a wall, please build bridges. Leave your gates open so they can freely enter and come in and go out whenever they want. And there's the example right from the Bible. That's God's decree that his own people surround Jerusalem with a wall. He's also condemning Hungary, who built the wall to keep out these illegal immigrants, these Muslims who were invading Europe. I call it an invasion. What's the difference if you had a big war against the Muslims to prevent them from coming into Europe, right? And then the Muslims beat you, you lose the battle, and then they bring their citizens into Europe. Or you just let them come in without a battle. It's the end result. You got all these Muslims now invading nominal Catholic Europe and ruining also their national identity without even a bullet being fired. Well, Hungary built a wall, and it's a wall in which they don't build bridges where people are free to come and go. So according to Francis I, all the Hungarians are not Christian. I think the Slovakians and Croatians are building a wall now, so they're not Christian neither. You stupid dope. You put your foot in your mouth, your ass in your mouth, and made a dope of yourself. And that's not too hard for him to do. These guys, they embarrass me. I'm trying to tell these Protestants or some people of goodwill out there, this guy's not Catholic. People ought to be ashamed to call themselves Catholic if they believe that man's Catholic. It's not what we teach. The man's not Catholic. Don't be afraid to blast him like I am, but make sure you add the addendum that he's not Catholic, that he's an apostate anti-pope. Now, there's another wall that our Lord God built. This is the ultimate wall. The wall between heaven and the hell of the damned. And that wall has no bridge, not even a gate, not even a door. It's impenetrable and it's impassable. That wall, the devils and the damned humans can never breach and never enter heaven. So according to apostate anti-Pope Francis I, God is evil for not building a bridge over that wall and allowing the devils and damned humans to enter heaven, which is what the Greek philosophers do, which is what some of the anti-church fathers have done by saying that even in the end, the devils and the damned humans are going to be freed and breach that wall. Where do we read about that wall in the Holy Scriptures in the New Testament? About the rich man and the poor man Lazarus, who had sores all over, and the dogs were licking his sore, and the rich man would not give him anything to help him. And then when we read what happens when they died, The rich man went to hell of the damned, and Lazarus was in the paradise, Abraham's bosom. There's also a wall between that and Abraham's bosom, which is in the highest level of hell, but not in the hell of the damned. But we're going to read about it here from Luke 16:26. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a fixed, a great chaos, so that they who would pass from hence to you cannot, nor from thence come hither. You can't ever pass that wall. So Francis I is condemning the true God for building this ultimate wall, which seals in all the damn humans and devils in hell. Now, we're going to talk about his hypocrisy, right? This anti-wall man, walls built to keep men out. Well, the walls of Jerusalem we just read were kept to keep enemies out and to only let certain people in. And only the faithful Jews could enter into the Holy of Holies. And there's even walls on the inner sanctum where the temple was, where even Gentiles weren't allowed to go into the inner sanctums, but the outer porch areas. So they had walls not just surrounding the outer, but also the temple. But he's a hypocrite, because when he visited Jerusalem in the year 2014, you see him on the Western Wall making a prayer. Is he praying by the Western Wall, I think? Which is another heresy, because that Western Wall is controlled by Talmudic Jews who are still waiting for the Messiah because they don't believe Jesus Christ is God. The mere fact that he went to that wall and prayed on it, like the Talmudic Jews did before it, he's an apostate on that alone. But he shouldn't be praying by that wall. He should be putting up a sign and saying, tear it down. Let's go to the clip. All right, so what's he doing here? He's venerating that big wall instead of telling the Jews to tear it down. Even worse, according to his heresy, the apostate Jews in Israel are building walls to keep out the Palestinians, right? Which they have very strict checkpoints in which the Palestinians are basically in a giant prison camp in Gaza. Well, he visited Jerusalem. He never said anything about to the Jews. He never said to these Talmudic and apostate Jews and Benjamin Netanyahu that this is wrong, that this is a sin, that this is evil. He never said anything like that. He comes to Mexico when he made this statement, but Donald Trump is evil for wanting to have a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. But Benjamin Netanyahu and apostate Jews, no problem with them. And what they're doing in there with their walls is wrong, because that is unjust oppression. First, for several reasons, it's against, not just because it's against international law, but they're not even giving the Palestinians a humane type of living situation over there. But first and foremost, because it's against God's law, because the apostate Jews don't even belong in Jerusalem. But if he's going to be consistent about his anti-wall heresy, why is he not condemning the Talmudic and apostate Jews in Jerusalem? He's a hypocrite on top of it. Then we got another, he's condemning every prison in the world. Prisons are surrounded by walls with no bridges where people can freely enter and freely go in and out. So, everybody that has a prison, that promotes prisons, cannot be a Christian no matter what, because they have walls around a prison that with no bridges, which means with no free passage in and out. So therefore, he's condemning everybody. And basically, when you see him visiting all these prisons, we're going to get into that later on, he idolizes the poor and he idolizes sinners and prisoners. He idolizes them. There's nothing wrong with wanting trying to convert them and maybe help them out. He idolizes them. They're the cream of the crop in society. See, the lefty liberals coddle criminals because they're all criminals. They justify criminals. This is what he does. If he's probably spoke to me, probably doesn't like prisons. I don't know. He probably, why don't we just have something else where we can, you know, watch them in their homes or something, or come up with some other idea, right? But if he's going to be consistent about, if you're going to build a wall, you better make sure you have a bridge where people can go in and out. He's condemning everybody that has a prison. So tear down your prison walls and let all the criminals run wild, which is basically, folks, what they really do. Even though we have prisons with all these walls, the judges let these guys out in 2 weeks so they don't stay in the prison very long. Take a look at all our big cities as a result of it. Because even though we do have the prisons, they don't stay in there long enough. And a lot of them deserve the death penalty. Now, to get into the ultimate hypocrisy, this guy, as I said before, apostate Pope Francis I is a non-judgmentalist and a non-punishmentalist. He got this from the Renaissance Church and the Vatican II Church. They're all like, they don't want to judge nobody. You can't read the heart, you know, let alone punish anybody. So if you can't judge him, you can't punish him. He's the ultimate when it comes to non-judgmentalism. Just recently, one of his Monsignors is an open homosexual, a rabid militant homosexual, one of his Monsignors, And they question him about this Monsignor of his. And he says, who am I to judge? I cannot judge him. Wait a second. This guy's a homosexual, militant, publicly promoting it. He can't judge him. So according to Francis I, that man's a Christian as long as he doesn't build a wall to try to keep people out, and then he's not a Christian. He can do the homo thing day and night, night and day, do the homo thing, break the homo law against God, but as long as he doesn't build a wall to keep people out, you stupid, filthy pig bastard. I bet you that Francis, the stuff he's doing in the back room would make our heads spin. Satanic rituals, homosexual orgies, raping little boys. This is what's going on. He doesn't judge the pedophile priests and say they're not Christian. If you can't judge a homosexual Monsignor, how are you going to judge the pedophiles that are molesting boys? He's a hypocrite, is what I'm getting at. Can't people see through this guy? He's a hypocrite. We're going to go to the clip right now.
Just back from Brazil, where 3 million flocked to see him on World Youth Day. On the flight back, a relaxed pontiff made global headlines with some humble remarks, reaching out to gay Catholics in a way no pope has ever done before. ABC's Dan Harris has the story.
After being greeted like a rock star in Brazil, preaching to millions on Copacabana Beach, this new pope, who has gone to great lengths to project simplicity and openness, gave a remarkable press conference on the flight back to Rome. Such a striking difference from his often timid predecessor, who only took pre-selected questions from the press. Pope Francis laughing and joking with reporters, speaking off the cuff for 80 minutes. And here was the moment that is getting so much attention. The Pope saying, quote, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has good will, who am I to judge?
As long as he doesn't build a wall and try to keep people out, and then I do judge, and then I say he cannot be Christian. But homo, go ahead, do whatever you want. Do the homo thing. Who cares? According, that's what he's teaching here, right? What does our Lord say against homosexuality in the scriptures? How many times is it condemned from the time of Adam and Eve? It's against the natural law. Leviticus 20:13. If anyone shall lie with a man as with a woman, they both committed abomination. Their blood be upon them. Let them be put to death. That's God's decree against homosexuals. Now we read the condemnation of homosexuality by St. Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, I'm going to quote verse 32, which particularly actually condemns even Francis I and says that you get the death penalty along with the homos. Watch, I'm going to read it right here. Death penalty, which is another thing we're going to get into later on. He's a heretic because he denies the death penalty. He doesn't think people should be put to death no matter what their crime is. You're going to get that later on. But here's the quote. For their women have changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And in like manner, the men also, leaving the natural use of women, have burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working at which is filthy, and receiving in themselves the recompense which was due to their error, who, having known the justice of God, did not understand that they who do such things are worthy of death, that death penalty, and not only they that do them, but they also that consent to them that do them. That's you, Francis I, who would not even judge him, let alone punish him. You committed a huge sin of omission by not judging him, by not denouncing him as a homosexual freak, mortal sinner, and not punishing him with the death penalty. That's worthy of death penalty. Now, sins of omission, these guys don't even know the word. They deny sins of omission. All right, Leviticus 5:1, we read, if anyone sinned or heard a voice of one swearing is a witness to it, either because he himself has seen it or is privy to it, if he utter it not, let him bear his iniquity. If you see that someone's sinning and you don't denounce him and condemn his sin, you bear his iniquity. You're equally as guilty as he is, even if you're not a homo. And you see someone's doing the homo thing and you don't say, I gotta tell you, that's a mortal sin against God. It's an offense. You're a mortal sin. If you don't condemn, you're a homo if you don't denounce him. Let's read about sins of omission from Pope St. Gregory the Great in his Book 9, Epistle 11. And this is to Brunechild, Queen of the Franks. In the 6th century, he wrote this. If therefore you know of any that are violent, if of any that are adulterers, if any that are thieves or bent on other wicked deeds, make haste to appease God by their correction, that he may not bring upon you the scourge due to unfaithful races, which so far as we see is already lifting up for punishment of many nations. Okay, so not only do you have to denounce them and condemn them for committing mortal sins against God, because this is an abomination, you have to punish them. And the worthy death penalty, especially for prelates and priests that do this, is death. St. Paul just said that. They're worthy of death. St. Paul said that. You don't like St. Paul, Francis I? I know you don't. He could be an apostate Jew, a Freemason, I don't know what he is. But don't call yourself even a nominal Christian. This guy's why I call him an apostate. He's horrible. He's worse than conservative Protestants. He's an embarrassment to anybody who calls himself Catholic even. Now we're going to read about somebody in the Old Testament who did denounce his sons because they were committing sins, but he didn't punish them. It was Heli the high priest. His sons were committing fornication in the temple, around the temple, and they were stealing from the people. And they were stealing stuff. Because he did denounce them, but he didn't punish them. So let's see what God does and what he did to Heli the high priest because of that. This is 1 Kings 3:13. For I foretold unto them that I will judge his house forever for iniquity, because he knew that his sons did wickedly, and he did not chastise them. He did not punish them. It's not enough even just to condemn them. You got to punish them. These guys don't even condemn. That homosexual Monsignor is going around doing his homo thing with nobody condemning and nobody punishing him, and so are the pedophiles. You think this guy's going to do something about pedophilia with the way he thinks? Oh, you could go out and rape little boys every day by the dozens, but don't build a wall to keep illegal people, foreigners, from invading your country. Then you're not Christian. I can't believe what we're seeing here. This is what's coming out of this Vatican City. This is a putrid abomination. It's a harlot that was prophesied. It's a spiritual harlot, is Vatican City. It was God's home, and they defiled it, just like the Jews defiled in the Old Testament God's temple, and that was his home also. Here's St. Augustine, and it's against the Pelagians in the year 412. Eli certainly rebuked his sons, saying, "Nay, my sons, nay, it is not a good report which I hear of you." He chided them, and yet was punished because he should not have chided, but cast them off. What will he do who rejoices at vice or lacks the courage to correct it? And God killed Heli the high priest also, and then cursed his whole family for all future generations. That's what God did to Heli the high priest. And he judged, but he didn't punish. Let's read Pope St. Gregory the Great in his book 11, Epistle 13 to Serenius, Bishop of Massilia in the 6th century, which is Marseille today. Consider how execrable it is before men, and how perilous before the eyes of God, if vices should seem to be nurtured through him whose duty it is to punish crimes. Pat Buchanan said a good thing, even though he's a nominal Catholic. He's not good himself, but he's not as bad as this guy. He came out and said, "You're supposed to be the Pope. If you can't judge him, then who could?" See? And he's supposed to be the head of the whole church. Now, the first heresy was inferiors can't judge superiors. Now superiors can't even judge inferiors. That's the end of the road of non-judgmentalism. So he says, if vices should seem to be nurtured through him whose duty it is to punish crimes, attend therefore to these things diligently, most beloved brother, and study so as to act both wholesomely to correct the bad and avoid breeding offense in the minds of thy children by associating with evil men. Here's another thing. He prays with this guy. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:11, if a person who's named a brother is a drunkard or a fornicator, don't even eat with them. So this guy, he's a homosexual, he won't even judge him, cast him out, or even, first of all, he should be death penalty. So he's in religious communion with this guy, and he's treating as nothing happened. Everything's fine. But as long as that guy doesn't come out and say he's going to build a wall to keep out people, then he's not a Christian anymore. Then he would come down on him, you know. I always say about these lefty liberals who say they don't judge anybody, they're very judgmental when it comes to the conservative people and people that are on the right on moral issues, especially us Catholics who are right on the faith and moral issues. They certainly judge us. Their true colors come out. And they're the ones that are the real tyrannical bastards when it comes down to it. When they don't have their ways, they're vicious. Francis I is an extreme lefty liberal. Now, we're going to go to the Charlie Rose Show. This is an apostate priest from the Vatican II Church who's praising Francis I. And this interview took place on Charlie Rose, and it was shortly after Francis I visited the United States. We're going to get into that later on, about his visit to the United States later on. But this clip is going to show you this priest perfectly, this faggot priest, first when you hear him, right away off the bat, he's a homosexual. You notice too lately on all your news shows, they're getting more homos now to do broadcasts. You can tell it. They're feminacy, they're effeminate, they're homos, they're fairy birds, they're all over the place. This guy's extremely homosexual and effeminate. And you're going to see him perfectly teaching what the Vatican II Church teaches. And this interview took place shortly after the U.S. Visit of Francis I.
No one speaks badly of this Pope, effectively. You walk the streets of New York and atheists, Muslims, many people are attracted to him.
I speak badly of him. A lot of people speak badly of him, but they never make it on TV. Let's make an addendum to that. A big addendum. And all the extreme lefty liberals have their mouthpiece all over the major networks, all over the newspapers, the major newspapers and TV. But you will never hear people, even who try and abide by the natural law, who believe homosexuality is evil, who believe it's evil for homos to get married, you will never hear their voice. That's why I say they all like him. You know who likes him? The lefty liberals, the extremely evil people. And there's a lot of them too, I guarantee you. But there's a lot of other people out there that don't agree with it, and you never hear them. That's why they get away with saying stuff like this. They don't show you the other side. You're only seeing one side of this. We'll go on with the clip.
Many people are attracted to him, to this man, and he's opening hearts in an incredible way. We've got to begin with the human person, not with the doctrine. And that is quite a revolution, in fact.
Right there, he said, the human person is more important than the doctrine, than the truth. As long as you're a human person, who cares about the truth? That's what he's basically saying. Truth means nothing. Dogma means nothing. Natural law means nothing. That's why people who commit murder, commit massive crimes, because he's a human person, they let him out of jail, they sympathize with him and make excuses for him. Go ahead.
That is quite a revolution, in fact. He is de-clericalizing the church. I really believe that. And he's asking us to be with people. De-clericalizing right. The church. I think when we say someone who's very clerical holds on to their power, their authority, and expects people to follow them because of that authority. There's a revolution here. He's saying that's not the starting point. His father was saying.
See, they're against all authority, too. Monarchy, hierarchy, and authority. It's a democracy thing, right? No authority. Basically, that's impossible, really. We already went over that in several lectures, that democracy is an illusion. You always need to have authority. But they're against anybody telling them what to do. It is extreme rebellion. Our Lord said in 1 Kings 15:23, I think it is, it's like the sin of witchcraft to rebel. And like the crime of idolatry to refuse to obey. They don't want fathers telling children what to do, husbands telling their wives what to do, kings telling their servants what to do. They break down all hierarchic order and all authority. That's part of the, that's back from the Greeks too, they get this thing. No authority, no rulers, everybody can do whatever you want, just a prescription of chaos. Go ahead.
It's the human person who's the starting point, and our greatest strength are, in fact, the weakest. I mean, when he talks about abortion and people are welcome into the church, if they know they are welcome, if we go to the weakest members of society, if we say to these weakest members of society, God does not judge you, there is mercy.
First of all, notice what he called them. People who are getting abortions and homosexuals, he calls them the weakest persons, weak. What do you mean? They didn't get enough food? They're starving? They can't get out of bed? They're malnourished? What does he mean by weak? They're sinners! They're evildoers! They're guilty of mortal sin! That's not weak! That's a sin! It's evil! It's a sin against God! He's saying that we're now letting obstinate sinners come into the church on their own terms without any repentance and confession. That's what he's saying over here. And he's saying, why are they coming into this Vatican II church now? Because nobody judges them. They're no longer guilty. They let them come in. Look at how he uses the word weakness. Because what they believe in too, which is another heresy, that all men, God created men to be sinners. It's in their DNA. It's not their own fault. You know, it's not their fault. Oh, it's God who made men to be homos. It's God who made men to murder. It's God who made men to commit crimes of abortion. It's God's fault, not their fault. You see, there's the word weakness. They're mortal sinners, obstinate mortal sinners. And what he's saying here is true. This is what this church does. It's full of a bunch of obstinate, unrepentant, mortal, sinful, rebellious pigs. And then when something happens to their own children, because a priest molests them, what right do they have to complain? Because they don't want any sinners to be punished, and that includes the pedophiles too. And so they leave the pedophiles alone because they don't want to be blamed because they're committing adultery, or they're maybe drug addicts, or they're homosexuals, or committing their own type of crimes. It's a cabal of gangsters in this Vatican II church.
is this mercy, mercy, mercy. And suddenly it opens doors. It doesn't close doors. This Pope is all about opening doors, not closing doors.
There it goes. There's your wall with a bridge where you're free to go back and forth. If you're going to build a wall, make sure you have a door or a bridge which people can go in and go out freely. There's no rules. All right. Mr. Lefty Liberal Francis I condemns Donald Trump and all these other Republicans who support the wall. But what did he do when it came to the nominal Catholics? Joe Biden, Curry, Pelosi, who support abortion, all right, and support homosexual marriages. Homosexuality is a sin that cries out to God for vengeance, all right? These people support these things publicly. So what does he do when it comes to them? Does he say that they're not Christian? No. He considers them as good Catholics and even gives them Holy Communion. They even receive Holy Communion. Watch. I think it was Pelosi and Biden and all, they received Holy Communion, and he never said, first of all, the sin of abortion is automatic excommunication, even according to their canon law, unless they change that even. All right? And they're not supposed to receive communion, and you're supposed to avoid them. All right? So, he never says anything about them, right? So Biden, Curry, Pelosi, and these Democrats that support abortion and homosexual marriages, they're fine. They're Christians. As long as they don't build a wall that keeps people out, they're build a wall, you're not a Christian. He's a hypocrite. He's supporting these extreme lefty liberals, and he loves them. Not only does he promotes them, because they're all birds of a feather. This is one of those verses, right? Birds resort unto their like. Ecclesiasticus 10:16 or something, or 23:16, isn't it? Or 14, isn't Ecclesiasticus? Birds resort unto their like. Or Amos 3:6, shall two walk together, except they be agreed. Amos 3:3. They're all a bunch of extreme lefty liberals. But there's the hypocrisy on that. He doesn't say anything when it comes to them. Here's the clip where Joe Biden, he's the one who spearheaded the homosexual marriage thing as the test case before Obama said anything. Biden was the first one that came out and said it and broke the ice for the homosexual marriage abomination. Here we go.
And you're comfortable with same-sex marriage now?
I am Vice President of the United States of America. The president sets the policy. I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying women are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction beyond that.
He can't see a distinction! This guy's running the country. A man marrying a man and a man marrying a woman. He can't see the distinction. Boy, we're in deep crap, folks, when people like this are running the country. This is against the natural law. I'd rather be under Attila the Hun, who would kill you if you said anything like this. It's unbelievable, right? But Apostate Antipope Francis I, even when he visited the United States, never said anything about this. Never condemned him. Referred to him as a good Catholic and never said, you're not Christian. Yet Donald Trump and anybody who supports the wall to keep people out, they're not Christian. Where's the prayer? This is, everything is upside down. This is so bad what this guy said here. For him to get away with it, we're at the end of the world here. It's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I guarantee you, Sodom and Gomorrah, he had a lot of homos, but I don't think they ever tried to get married legally and raise kids like you're doing today. Well, just this week he visited Mexico and now he taught that it's okay to practice contraception. All right, which is against the natural law. It's a heresy. And he said, why did he do it? He said, because they have the Zika virus down there. These mosquitoes that are biting these pregnant women and their kids are coming out with microencephaly, small skulls. So he said, in these cases, you can practice contraception so you don't get pregnant. You can't practice contraception for no excuse, no reason. Even natural family planning is contraception. It's against God's natural law. And he's allowing it now for, you know what the answer to that is? Chastity, constancy. Do not have relations until you're sure you don't have it, or get rid of the disease. You never allow evil so good can come out of it. That's something that's intrinsically evil, contraception. He just recently supported that. We're going to go to the clip.
Pope Francis's back and forth with Donald Trump is not the only reason the Pope is making news this morning. On his flight back to the Vatican, the Pope indicated that contraceptives could be used to prevent the spread of Zika, despite the church's long-standing ban. Let's go to NBC's Ann Thompson. She's at Vatican City with more. Ann, good morning. Good morning, Savannah. As we have seen with his comments about Donald Trump's border wall, Pope Francis can be blunt. But even his closest observers were surprised by the exception he made yesterday to the church's opposition to artificial birth control. At his in-flight press conference, the Pope said contraception to prevent Zika is the lesser of two evils compared to abortion.
It's evil nevertheless, intrinsically evil, and he's allowing it. You know, I wish when he was like, his mother was pregnant, he got hit with the Zika thing. So he came out with a microcephaly brain, so we don't have him around here messing us up. But guess what? If you don't have him, you're going to have someone else, you know? Actually, that those children, they'd have the microcephaly. You know, maybe Aquinas could have saved his soul if he had microcephaly, because he wouldn't be so smart, and he wouldn't be tempted to do what he did. So I know that's not the biggest curse in the world anyway, right? Where's this faith? First of all, these kids are being born. So if you baptize the kid and he dies as an infant and he's a true Catholic, he goes right to heaven. Where's his faith on all of this anyway? Right? It's not the worst thing in the world. The kid's being born, you can baptize him. But he's allowing contraception is the point on that. Also during that visit, he went out there and glorified the pagan Indians. They all do this. The Vatican II Church is loaded down with this. It's part of the Renaissance Church, too, when they started to teach that all pagans can be saved and when they're denying the salvation dogma. This is all part of it. Now, they're glorifying. When he comes out and he starts glorifying these pagan Indians and he starts talking about their cultures, he's also including their religion because when they were pagan, their culture was imbibed with paganism, with filthy idols, filthy practices and worshiping of false gods. Even today, they're still doing it. They're practicing Santeria. They're practicing Brujeria down in South America while they call themselves Catholic, and he never said a word about that. These pagan Indians were savages and pagans, and now he's apologizing to them because Catholics came over and tried to evangelize them and convert their souls in order to give them everlasting salvation in heaven. He's apologizing to these pagan heathen Indians. Here we go.
About 500,000 people came out to greet the Pope, and about 100,000 people piled into a stadium for a very special Mass. And it was during this Mass that the Pope talked about the indigenous people, how they didn't get the respect that they deserve, that they've been excluded in society for not just years, but for centuries. He also melded two concerns, appreciation for the indigenous cultures and the need to care for the environment. Here is more in a soundbite from what he said.
Some have considered your values, culture, and traditions to be inferior. Others, intoxicated by power, money, and market trends, have stolen your lands or done things which contaminated them. How sad this is.
No, look what he's saying. Over the centuries, we separated ourselves from you, and we denounced you wrongly. Well, over the centuries, before they were converted, they were pagan heathens. What is all God's teaching against the pagans? They're in damnation. They're idol worshippers. We have to condemn them and try to convert them and separate from them. Don't let them corrupt Catholic society. Our job is to tell them that, guess what? I still love you, but it's my job to tell you that you're a pagan, you're a heathen, you're an idol worshiper, you're displeasing to God. God abhors you. If you die that way, you're going to hell. He's apologizing to God. He's saying God is wrong for condemning these people. God is wrong for condemning idolatry. God is wrong for condemning paganism. God is wrong for condemning to worship the demons and to commit all kinds of filthy, immoral sins. He's not turning these people into angels. And the evangelists who try to convert them as devils. Remember Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to you who call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light, light for darkness." And then you hear another one of his heresies, which we're going to get into later on, class warfare. I don't like capitalism neither. I condemn it and greed. But he goes too far. He condemns all rich people. He idolizes the poor. He idolizes criminals. He puts them on a pedestal and bows down and says, just because you're poor, just because you're a criminal, just because you're a poor Indian, I idolize you. And all rich people are evil. He's creating class warfare. This is an evil form of communism. God has the classes. God instituted the rich, the poor, the rulers, the ones who serve. In heaven, there's a hierarchy even. He denies all this. That's part of his heresy here, too. He idolizes poor people, idolizes criminals. And he's making excuses for these pagans, and he's condemning all the true Catholic evangelists that put their life on the line to go in there and to convert them and save their immortal souls. All he cares about is corporal works of mercy. What are the corporal works of mercy? Feeding the poor, visiting people, and if they're sick, all right? But he doesn't flesh things. which we have to do, but he doesn't care about the spiritual works of mercy, which are infinitely more important. So more important so that if you don't have the spiritual works of mercy, you can't save your soul and go to heaven. You end up, you can give somebody all the food they want, make them as free as they want, make them as happy as you want in this world. If they don't have the Catholic faith and they don't obey God's commandments, they die and go to hell for all eternity. He doesn't say anything about that at all because he's totally carnal. He's a humanist. All he cares about is this world. It's the devil working through people like him to seduce people, to make them feel comfortable while they're here and now, but nothing about the eternal, their souls. Nothing about their souls. Remember our Lord said, what is it a profit of man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? That's in Mark 8:35. That's another one of his big sins right here. He's like the Mother Teresa, these false works of mercy. What did St. Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13:3? If I should distribute all my goods and to give them to the poor and deliver my body to be burned, if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. They think charity just means giving to the poor. But St. Paul says that's only one part of the acts of charity. What is the full definition of charity? St. John tells us in 2 John 1:6, this is charity, that you walk according to God's commandments. All of his commandments, not just feed the poor. This is what the Freemasons do and the Jews. They give you a lot of food. They feed you. They promise you all these temporal things in this world, but not one of them could make you live forever. Not one of them could stop you from getting sick when there's no medicine to cure you. Not one of them can stop you from getting old. Not one of them can stop you from dying. And not one of them can stop you from going to hell because they're not trying to tell you what you need to go to heaven. That's the trick of all people like this guy out here. Very bad. That's one of his heresies. A big one that he holds, and they all hold. Now we're going to talk about Apostate Anti-Pope Francis I visit to the United States in the year 2015. Well, first of all, when he got off the plane and Francis met Obama, they were like two dogs in heat. Long lost lovers. Slobbering all over one another. Eyes beaming at one another. Two of the best friends, right? And this is only natural, because you want to know why? Because both of them are harlots. Francis I represents the spiritual harlot in Rome. Obama, the physical harlot of the United States. And they're having a nice little meeting. And they're kindred spirits. They're of the same mind. They're of the same belief. And during that whole visit, when he met, he's shaking the hands of Obama, whose hands are covered with the blood of murdered infants. Infants that are murdered in the wombs of their mother by abortion. Shaking the hands of a man who supports homosexuals getting married. Who supports feminism. Who supports black radicalism. And he never, ever, during this whole visit, said one word against any one of these sins or crimes. But as long as Obama doesn't build a wall to keep out illegal people from entering, he's a Christian. You see how these lefty liberals are? He talks about how he cares about people. He kisses little babies. Let's take a look at the clip of him kissing his little babies. Yet Obama's murdering babies in a womb. He doesn't care about the murdered babies. It's all a show. It's like Donald Trump did say. He's a politician. He's an actor. If I was, folks out there, don't let that man get near you. Because if he kisses your baby, you're going to get a legion of demons. It's all a lie. He said nothing about murder and infants. But, oh, don't build that wall to keep people from illegally entering your country. But you can murder infants. That whole visit he was here, everybody is waiting. Because, and not just that, transgenderism. They support men looking like women and acting like women and women acting like men. This is another big thing that already had happened. So people are saying when he comes over, he's going to set the record straight. And it was supposed to be for the family. What kind of family are you talking about when you have men marrying men, women marrying women, men who become women, women who become men, you don't know what they are, walking around, and he visits this country, and he says nothing. He doesn't care. He doesn't denounce them. He doesn't condemn them. He didn't even condemn the sin, let alone denounce the person. Right? Oh, but the Republicans or people who have a little bit of the natural law. Oh, get away from those people. They're vicious and evil. They're too judgmental. What did he do recently too in the Vatican? They had a big thing where he's trying to push homosexuality big time in the Vatican. And this new document he tried about a year or 2 years ago, and a lot of your African cardinals are against homosexuality. Anti-cardinals, they're all anti-cardinals. But there's a group of them out there who are really against it, and he's angry at them. So he got so angry at them, he came out and he actually judged them. And he says they're uncharitable, they're too judging, they're not merciful. And he put all judgments down upon them because they were condemning him for being for accepting homosexuality. You see how it is? He can judge when he wants to. He can when he wants to judge people who are on the right side of the issue, when they don't pump his liberal agenda, his immoral, totally faithless agenda. Yeah, and Obama, another crime Obama commits in all these guys is contraception. Is that not building a wall in the womb of the woman? You're building a wall in the womb of the woman, so she cannot have a baby. What about those walls? All right, he doesn't say anything about that neither. Never said anything about any of this. To show you how pro-homosexual he is, it gets even sicker. On his visit to the United States, he had a private meeting, which was publicized to the press, though. He had a private meeting with two of his friends that are homosexuals. His friends. And they live together. They live together. Two of these homosexuals. All right? He met with them. He blessed them. He greeted them. And he was so happy to meet these two homosexuals. Not only did he not condemn their sin or denounce them as homosexuals, an abomination of mortal sinners, he blessed them and he favored them. We're going to go to the clip.
Oh my gosh.
Like a... Esta es.
Usted es único.
Gracias, amor. Gracias a todo esto. Gracias a todo esto.
Ay, qué hermosa foto. Gracias.
Muchísimas gracias. Que tenga.
Que Dios lo bendiga.
Una foto cuando me vea.
Hasta pronto. ¿Aprendió?
Sí.
Habla español.
Sí. Gracias.
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 Muchas felicidades.
Lord only knows what they did in the back room after the cameras were off, all right? Those guys are okay. They're Christian. As long as they don't build a wall and keep people out. Look at them mugging it up with these guys. St. Paul says don't even with a brother if he's a fornicator or a drunkard. This guy's mugging it up with them. He's not denouncing them. What is this guy? This guy is so pro-homosexual. It's disgusting that people can look at this stuff. Well, he's very proud and happy to meet these two homosexual friends and let it get out in the press. Well, there was another woman in the United States, Kim Davis, a very courageous woman. What she did was very good on the natural law, and he, according to God, it's God's natural law. She's totally against the homosexuals getting married, and she's a clerk that's responsible for giving out licenses to these homos when they come to the office. So she says, I'm not going to give out these licenses. As long as I'm here, I'm not going to do it. So she made her stand, and Obama ordered her to be put in jail. Because she wouldn't do that, right? So this is a courageous thing she did. Now, you would think that when apostate Pope Francis I came, he would defend people like that. Because this is what they're getting at. They're going to start forcing true Catholics like us and even nominal Christians to start accepting, or they're going to try to force us to accept things that we don't want to accept, or we're going to lose our jobs, or we're going to lose our businesses, or they're eventually going to put us to death even, all right? So by locking this girl up, and a lot of people already went away. Folks have lost their jobs because they would not like people that put on weddings for people and they take care of weddings, and they would not go and run a wedding for homos. They lost their job because bakeries who would not make a cake with homo two men on the top of it. They lost their whole bakery because of this. This is what's going on in the United States. They even got a law where they're forcing people who are against contraception, like even these nominal Catholics and Christian groups, they're forcing them to covered health insurance so they can pay for contraceptions. And it's, the Vatican's supposed to be against this. Hey, you're infringing upon our religious rights. It's against our religious beliefs. Well, a Catholic can never do anything against his faith or morals, or ever, even if you kill me, right? But you still got to try to fight against evil governments like this. So you thought when this guy was going to come over here, maybe he'll stand up for this Kim Davis and he'll meet with her publicly and say what she did was right. She's a hero. You know who made her a hero? The Protestants, the right-wing Protestants like Huckabee and all these other, and Franklin Graham and all these people gathered together and said she's a hero. I'm telling you, these right-wing Protestants are way less evil than Apostate Anti-Pope Francis in the Vatican II, nominal Catholics, way less evil. It's a shame when you got these guys doing what is right and him doing what is extremely wrong. Well, it turns out when he visited the United States, he actually did visit her. But he didn't even know. It was in a group of people that are lined up when they meet the, you know, they get, and he shakes her hand or something. So he says he didn't know it. That's what he says, okay? And then when it came out later on and they said, hey, you met with her. Did you know that? I think he first pretended he didn't know that she was there and it wasn't set up for that. And then he comes out and actually says, me meeting with her does not mean I support what she did. He doesn't say, in other words, she should have given the licenses to the homos to get married. Right? Here, let's go to the clip.
After days of speculation, the Vatican has released an explanation on the meeting Pope Francis held with Kim Davis during his recent trip to the U.S. The Kentucky County Clerk made national headlines when she was jailed for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
Her case is a very complex case.
First of all, just notice his voice. That guy's a flaming homosexual also. Go ahead.
Very complex case. It's got all kinds of intricacies. Was there an opportunity to brief the Pope on this beforehand? I don't think so. Okay. A list is given. These are the people you're going to meet, as the list that's at the Mass every day.
In the statement, the Vatican says Davis was one of dozens of people the Pope greeted in the Capitol's nunciature. It clarifies, quote, it should not be considered a form of support of her position in all of its particular and complex aspects.
I think we may not have been aware of the full impact of the meeting. It's very difficult sometimes when you're looking at things in America from here and you don't necessarily have somebody on the ground there to say the import of this.
The statement goes on to read that the only private audience given by the Pope during his visit to Washington, D.C. was to his former students and to family members.
Those former students were the two homosexuals, okay? So here this woman is who stood out against homosexual marriages courageously, and he's embarrassed, doesn't want to say anything about her, but he will meet with these two homosexuals, kiss them on TV, and he's proud of it. Can you see what's going on here, folks? This guy is so far from even, I don't even call him a nominal Christian. He's a total apostate. He's against the natural law even. People that keep the natural law like Attila the Hun would have nothing to do with this guy. And this is one of my main reasons for doing this lecture, is to make reparation against the reputation of the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith that this man is blaspheming and dragging through the mud. I'm telling you Protestants of goodwill and other men of goodwill, that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. That's not what the Catholic faith teaches. That man isn't Catholic. That man is not the Pope. Do not be embarrassed to blast him out of the water because he calls himself the Catholic Pope. Just make sure when you do it, you call him an apostate anti-Pope. You call him a non-Catholic. You call him a non-Christian. But don't call him a Catholic. This is the worst thing when I watch stuff like this and people are growing up and not hearing people, us, teach the true Catholic faith. They think this is what Christianity is all about. And no goodwill person will ever come into that type of Christianity. No goodwill person who has a natural law upon her heart. Now we're going to end this thing with a statement that he made. And we have a part of the clip. I don't know if I have all of the clip, but what I heard, what it came down, it comes out to this. He's on his airplane. He's always doing these things in the airplane. You know, he must have a lot of demons on that airplane. They're always catching him on the airplane. But somebody asked him something like this. They said, what's your heresy? Or someone was accusing him of being an antichrist. I think that's what they're accusing him of being an antichrist. And I would say, well, they were wrong about that. He's a false prophet. He is an antichrist. He's not the antichrist, but he is an antichrist. That's true. And he's a false prophet. And he may be the false prophet. We don't know how that happened, but we know these guys are coming around. The Antichrist and false prophet are very soon to come. So if he's not the false prophet, he is a false prophet and an Antichrist, and he's paving the road for that. Now, he was asked, what is your heresy, basically, you know? And then he came out and he said, well, you want me to recite the creed? I recite the Apostle Creed. I'm not a heretic. Let's go to the clip.
Sono io a seguire la Chiesa. E se è necessario che io recite il credo, sono disposto a farlo.
All right, so he says, by him praying the creed, it proves that he's a Christian. Sorry, pal, it don't work that way. Remember, our Lord says, you honor my list, but your heart's far from me. You can pray the creed all you want, but you deny the creed. He proves himself to be a formal heretic right here, too, right? Because when we pray our Nicene Creed, we say, I believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity, right? He holds a heresy that Muslims and Talmudic Jews and apostate Jews worship the true God. But they don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They don't believe the Holy Spirit is God. And they don't believe in the Holy Trinity. So he denies what he professes in the Apostles' Creed when he says that Talmudic Jews, apostate Jews, and Muslims worship the true God. All right? He's nailed on that one alone. And he can't claim invincible ignorance. He's got the creed that he recites. And then he comes out and he says, guess what? These people worship and believe in the true God. He has a whole bunch of other heresies. He says, what's my heresies? We're going to give you a little list of all his heresies. First of all, he holds either explicitly or by sins of omission and association all the heresies of the Renaissance Church, which began in the year 1033, and the Vatican II Church. Renaissance Church, he works in a home and in churches that have idols and false gods and devils and pornography all over the walls. Apollo, Venus, Jupiter, rape scenes, naked scenes, the map room full of demons and devils. He works in a place like that, never says anything about it, never condemned it, never denounces the people who did it. It's still there to today. Never denounced his predecessors that practiced astrology and all other forms of black cult and witchcraft and all the other heresies they held on to. Never. He holds them. He holds all of them, and he holds all the heresies of the Vatican II Church, most of them, if not at least explicitly, at least by sins of omission and association. He holds the heresy of non-judgmentalism and non-punishmentalism. He denies the salvation dogma. He believes people who live and people who die worshiping false gods and practicing false religions can be saved. The salvation dogma says only Catholics can be saved and only Catholics who are in a state of grace can be saved. There's no salvation outside the true Catholic Church. Anybody who dies practicing a false religion, worshiping a false God, or an atheist goes straight to hell. He doesn't hold that. He believes they can be saved. He believes apostate Jews and Muslims worship the true God. He believes apostate Jews are God's chosen people are under a covenant with God. And they're blessed by God. These Jews over in Israel, he glorifies them and praises them. These Christ-denying Jews. He holds a heresy that apostate Jews did not kill Christ, nor are the future generations of all apostate Jews guilty of the crime of deicide. He holds that heresy. He holds a heresy that God created men to be homosexuals and other types of sinners, that God created men to be that way. He's a social worker who idolizes corporal works of mercy and denies all the spiritual works of mercy. All he cares about are bodies and flesh, but nothing about the soul. He idolizes the poor. He idolizes criminals, and he instigates class warfare. And he also is a heretic for condemning the death penalty. He doesn't believe in the death penalty. Here we read this quote. This is from the Death Penalty Information Center website. Pope Francis expressed the Catholic Church's opposition to the death penalty. The true Catholic Church doesn't oppose the death penalty, calling it inadmissible, no matter how serious the crime committed. He continued, it is an offense against the inviolability of life and the dignity of the human person, which contradicts God's plan for a man in society and his merciful justice. First of all men die. The first death penalty was given in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. He says, now death will come upon you. How's that for a death penalty? Given by God. All the commands in the Old Testament where he gives God, the Jews the Ten Commandments and says, if you don't obey this and you don't obey that, let them be put to death. Let them be put to death. Let them be put to death for this crime. Let them be put to death for that crime. All the times God ordained the Jews to go out and have wars and kill people and put them to death. It's throughout the whole scriptures, front and back. St. Paul, I just read to you. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. Some people have another heresy. They think there's different gods going on here. There's a different God from the Old Testament era than from the New Testament era. He was the vicious, bad God. Jesus is the good guy God, and he doesn't support killing people. It's the same God. We're going to show you what Jesus said right here in, what's our famous one of Luke 19:27. Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking, and as those for my enemies who would not have me rule over them, bring them hither and kill them before me. He's asking other people to kill them before me. We read in another verse here, which is, we're gonna read in Luke 22:36. This is Jesus speaking. He's saying, But he said, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip. And he that hath not, let him sell his coat and buy a sword. He's telling the apostles, I don't want you to use the sword right now because I got to die. But when I die, there's going to be a time when you're going to have to take up the sword and kill people. St. Paul said that again. I'm going to repeat what we wrote before. In Romans 1:32, he gives a list of all these sins that are worthy of the death penalty. A whole list of them. And he says, who having known the justice of God, did not understand that they who do such things are worthy of death. And not only them that do them, but them also who consent to them that do them, of the death penalty. He's condemning every, King David, first, he's condemning every one of God's chosen people that ever killed anybody according to God's commandments. It's insane. That guy don't even read the Bible, folks. It gets back to my Hellenization of Christianity. It's the philosophers. The philosophers are mushy. They don't like to kill anybody. They don't like any pain or agony. They don't have utopia on earth. No one goes to hell. No one should be killed. That's philosophy. It's not Christianity. It's not the Bible. The man hates the Bible. He doesn't read the Bible. Let's read about what our Lord told Moses here in the commandment right here from the Leviticus chapter 24. He says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring forth the blasphemer without the camp, and let them that heard him put their hands upon his head, and let the people stone him. He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, dying, let him die. All the multitude shall stone him, whether he be a native or a stranger. And Moses spoke to the chosen Israel, and they brought forth him that had blasphemed without the camp, and they stoned him. So God's going against his old Francis I commandment of life, human life is inviolable. Everyone is precious. Nobody should be killed, all right? He's condemning the God of the Old Testament. He's condemning the God of the New Testament because it's the same God, right? So many, we have quotes in here. St. Paul in the book of Hebrews talks about the death penalty. Open up your ears and listen, Francis I, and all you people that follow those bastards, and get the cement, the horse crap out of your ears and listen to these verses. This is Hebrews 10, 28 to 29. A man making void the law of Moses dieth without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more worthy do you think he is of death, those who tread under the foot the Son of God during the New Testament? How much more worthy do you think they are to be punished? Death penalty. It's throughout the New Testament. It's throughout the Old Testament. It's throughout the history of the Old Testament people, the history of the New Testament people. God himself struck down Sapphira and Ananias when he wouldn't give the tithes to St. Peter. Sometimes God kills you directly. Sometimes he has his chosen people kill you. Most times he has other evildoers kill you. So that's his anti-death penalty heresy that he holds. This guy is so anti-Christian, he's not even like a, you can't even call him a nominal Christian. He's, the Bible, a conservative Protestant will put this guy to shame. It's way less evil than him. You'll never convert these people into a church like that. We're going to end this lecture now by talking, quoting from the prophet Ezekiel, where he's condemning the Jews for not building a wall to defend themselves. And this wall has two meanings, which I'll express when I'm done here. But this is from Ezekiel 13, verses 3 to 5. Thus saith the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, Francis I, and see nothing. The prophets, thy prophets, O Israel, were like foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up to face the enemy, nor have you set up a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. That's a physical wall and a spiritual wall. Physical wall, yes, to keep people out and not let them in and build a bridge across it, which condemns his first heresy. But more importantly, a spiritual wall. That wall is our Catholic faith. That wall is all of God's commandments. That wall is what keeps us safe and keeps us away from the wicked world, who our Lord tells us and St. Paul tells us, be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Do not associate with the evildoers and the non-Catholics socially. Do not let them come into your inner society. Build a wall against them. That's why we have abjurations. An abjuration is a bulwark and a wall to only keep people in here that have the Catholic faith, believe all the dogmas and obey all of God's commandments. And if they don't, they confess their sins and they have the desire to obey all of his commandments. We read about St. Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 17, I just took a few key verses here. He says, bear not the yoke with unbelievers. Wherefore go out from amongst them, be separate, saith the Lord. Ephesians 5, 6 to 12, I'm taking quotes. The anger of God cometh upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not partakers with them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. This is our wall, which our Lord tells us, even as Catholics, we have to build walls around our heart to keep out the evil world from entering. Walls around our properties to keep them from entering on our properties and defiling our properties and corrupting our children. This is all part of God's basic commandments. And the prophet Ezekiel is condemning these false prophets who refuse to build walls. So this guy's not just breaking down physical walls. He wants to break down spiritual walls. He wants to break down the walls that protect us from the devil and let the devil run roughshod all of us and the whole world. He's paving the road for the coming of the false prophet and the Antichrist. And that is, if he's not the false prophet himself. End of lecture. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.